Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
I'm never going to get over that. Manfred spoke again, by the way. I'm never going to get over that Yankees fan who's already bashing the trash can at Astros spring training. That was from a couple of days ago. Probably more of you are on the road right now since you've been off for the past couple of days because of President's Day weekend. But that was my favorite sound to come from the couple of days ago. Trash can banging. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show. I'll be in with you up until 6 o'clock, which leads into Joe Lowe and Dibs, Devontae Steiny and Guru, and then, of course, to Damon Ratto and Kolsky a little later on today. The entire week, I've just been playing the new sound that surfaces as more and more guys continue to talk. The big one, the big fish, the big one that they got was Mike Trout, who... I didn't realize I just said the big fish was Mike Trout until then. I didn't mean to do that. No pun intended. But you know what? I'm going to say pun intended because that's actually kind of smart. But the big one they got was Mike Trout, who basically said that he wasn't a fan of the punishment, and it's sad for baseball. Just take a listen.
Well, you know, it's tough. You know, they cheated. And I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not, getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven thing. It sucks too because, you know, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. Me going up to the plate knowing what's coming, it'd be pretty fun up there. it's just like I said, it's a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys, and it seems like every day something new comes out.
Dude, if Mike Trout were on the Astros in one of these teams, he'd be hitting like 500 with 60 home runs at least. No doubt in my mind. But I don't think Mike Trout would get involved with any sort of stuff like that. Mike Trout is the one who I feel like these players, these Astros players, would listen to. And he talked about their punishment.
If you know what's coming, it's going to definitely help you. I think that's, you know, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see for sure.
I think he said it's tough about 16 different times in the one-minute sound clip in total that he had. About a minute 20 is what he had when he was talking from spring training. A little later on in the show, I'm going to get to some sound also from Emmanuel Sanders, and there were some moves made yesterday in the NFC West, and I also want to talk about the future for the Golden State Warriors compared to these other teams that are up there with them in the top five who are probably going to be getting these top five picks. But Cody Bellinger was the one who also made the headlines by talking over the weekend, and he had a variety of things to say. He lost respect for the Astros. He called out Altuve for not wanting his shirt ripped. Bellinger said that if he were to hit a walk-off home run off Aroldis Chapman, he'd rip his pants off, which is just a weird thing to say in general. But he also talked about how Jose Altuve stole the MVP.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
It's for one, it's not funny, the thing that he said, but if you've never heard Cody Bellinger's voice before and you were picturing what it would sound like, you'd picture it exactly sounding like it did at the beginning. Yeah, man, I thought it was whatever.
I thought the apologies were whatever.
I thought it was whatever. But he did talk about how Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge. And that's a tough call. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, Altuve definitely stole that MVP. Really curious to see how it goes this season. I mean, Correa backed him up with that whole tattoo situation. And I really do think Altuve's a good player. I know there's those home and road stats, blah, blah, blah. But really, if you look at a lot of players on a lot of different teams, a lot of them hit way better at home than they do on the road. I know the disparity and the evidence that's all coming out, it kind of backs up all those averages and those stats, those home road splits. But also, I think that happens with a lot of players. I really do. And I think Altuve is still a good player, and I'm curious to see how he handles all the adversity going forward. Very interested to see the Astros play on a Sunday night baseball game when they got A-Rod, calling the game, because I don't know if there's, maybe besides Barry Bonds, but I don't know if there's any other player other than Alex Rodriguez who would be able to speak on getting nationally hated wherever you go when you step up to the plate. I was just listening to Buster Olney in his podcast, and he was mentioning how when Alex Rodriguez went to the Rangers, Mariners fans were throwing dollar bills at him because of the cash situation. Like, this dude, it was nationally hated. So I'm looking forward to watching Sunday Night Baseball and seeing what A-Rod has to say about this entire thing. But Cody Bellinger talking about how the apology was whatever, but also talking about how Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge. We hadn't heard from Aaron Judge, and that was up until yesterday. Take a listen to Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I just don't think it holds any value. You cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. We're competitors. And the biggest thing about competition is laying it all out in the line, and, you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top, you know. And, you know, you just lay it out there, and, you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned, or, you know, yeah, that's... it's not earned.
Wow. This is great. We are finally getting some personality from these players. When's the last time you heard from Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger, and Aaron Judge actually saying something interesting other than, oh, yeah, we just want to go out there. We want to play tough. We want to play hard. I just want to go out there and trust my teammates. My teammates are the real reason that I'm doing all of this. It's not me. I'm not that good. It's really all my teammates on the other side. They're the reason that I'm in the successful position that I'm in. No, it's nothing like that. He said the Astros title wasn't earned, and I don't think there'd be any other player besides Judge who would be just as mad about this situation other than any of the Dodgers. But, there's one guy, this was kind of a surprise. I didn't expect someone, at least one of these players, to be as direct and straightforward. By the way, you can feel free to hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. We're already getting a few texts in here about this whole cheating scandal and the updates that are coming along with it. I know you're probably tired of hearing of it, but there's more and more stuff that continues to surface, and I'm going to play the sound from Rob Manfred in a second, because he had another press conference yesterday, and it keeps on getting worse, and I think everyone just needs to stay quiet. That's what Yu Darvish talked about. But one guy who talked yesterday, and this is one that's kind of, I'm like, what? And that's Nick Markakis. Nick Markakis played a majority of his career with the Baltimore Orioles and has played the last couple of years with the Atlanta Braves, and he's been a very good player, especially that first year with the Braves, or was it his second year with the Braves? Especially that first year, though, he was an All-Star. He won a Silver Slugger Award. I think that it was – oh, my goodness. No, my God. He's been on the Braves for a lot longer than I thought. This was his third year with the Braves, and it's Nick Markakis, and he had a Silver Slugger year. He was an all-star. He was great. He's always batted for average, batted for high average at any team that he's been on. Never had that high of home run numbers. He's always been within the 12 home runs to 23 home run range. But he never really had anything to do with the Astros. But this guy, Nick Markakis, he has been just about as straightforward and direct as anybody. And take a listen.
To see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
Ooh.
You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. You know, I know we're all competitive and we're out there competing, but there's right ways to do it and wrong ways to do it. And I 100% disagree with the way they did it.
Markakis coming in hot, saying that every Astro needs a beating. Now, he's been in the league since 2006, so this is one of the few veterans in this game who's still performing at a very high level. And he came out and said the Astros, every Astro needs a beating. And that leads to my to the question here on the Chilton Lottabody text line from the 925. The Astros' first road trip of the season is in Oakland. I can't wait to go to that first game. Nice guy. How many times do you think the Astros will get beamed in total this season? Now, the over-under was set at 83.5. That's what the sports book set the over-under for the total hit by pitches for the Astros would be. Now, if we're looking at that number, are we saying the guys are going to get beamed a total of 84 times compared to 83 times? I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I had some time to mull it over. And one of the reasons why I figured that it would be under 83.5 is because, well, simply, if Rob Manfred is going to come out here and try and protect, quote unquote, protect these baseball players from getting hit by pitches, then, I think he's going to come down hard on these guys that try and actually do it. But the question is, the big question is, how are they going to be able to determine whether it was intentional or not? Because there are going to be a lot of guys who go out there and they say, look, I was just trying to throw inside on him. It was a situation where I needed to throw an inside fastball. He's been crushing everything outside this entire season. I need to throw inside on this guy, and I accidentally just caught him in the ribs. That's my bad. I mean, what's Rob Manfred going to do? Like, is he going to fine or suspend him? Because that was what my thinking was yesterday. I literally said on this very show, I said he's not going to be handing out 84 separate fines and suspensions, and I haven't some time to mull it over. Sure, there might be a couple, but players are just going to act like it's not intentional. So I could see it going over 83.5 now. I do kind of change my mind on that entire thing. But also, a lot of these pitchers, too, I don't think they really want to hurt some guys. Like, they understand that they do have the power on the mound when they got that round rock in their hand that they can throw 95 miles an hour. And sometimes, I mean, if you intentionally try and hit a dude, and let's just say you hit him in the face, let's just say you pull a Mike Fiers on Giancarlo Stanton, and you got Giancarlo posting pictures with basically what looked like a swarm of bees attacked his cheek. Like, are you going to be feeling too great about that just because you hit them for cheating? I think some of these pitchers are going to back off and, you know, basically say, look, they didn't get any punishment, but the punishment ain't going to come from me. I do think some pitchers are going to say that, but I also think there are going to be a lot of pitchers who are like, look, I'm going to try and legitimately bean these dudes. So I could see it going over the 83.5 mark that's set by the sports books. But that, to me, historically looking at it and looking at the teams that have been beamed the most, it doesn't seem like that high of a number. But when I was just looking at it straight up at the beginning, my initial reaction was, damn, 84 times, that'd be a lot. That'd be a ton. Look, all right, I'm going to play the sound from Rob Manfred next. He put out an apology, and he said a myriad of things. We'll talk about that. We got some sound also from Chris Bryant, another star in the league. I mean, this thing just continues to roll. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. I got no reason to play that other than I just enjoy the trash can banging of a Yankees fan who's already at Astros batting practice. It's a bad beat. It's a bad beat. They're this season. I mean, it sucks that this is happening. And it sucks that this is the reason why. And we're getting here from the Chilton Auto Body text line. It's where was it? We actually got a few here. From the 925, it's really refreshing to see these superstars show some emotion and personality. Too bad it had to be because of this huge scandal. And that's absolutely right. So there's that silver lining in all of it. And the sucky part is we're going to be seeing, I can't believe I just used that word, sucky. Who uses that word? But I think the thing that stinks is that I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros television ratings are up, you know, just going to be watching to see what this team can actually do. I wouldn't be surprised if more people are just, I wouldn't be surprised if the regular sports fan who, you know, was on baseball but kind of off it for the past few years, it kind of stinks, but I feel like these guys are going to be the regular sort of baseball fan, the on and off baseball fan, they're going to be more inclined to watch this season just because of this entire scandal. I'm going to continue to repeat this, and I sound like a broken record, but in 2017, how did nobody call them out for this? It just seems like this is this. Even though that's happening at spring training and it's happening at batting practice and a meaningless batting practice. And oh, there was a tweet, by the way, yesterday that came out because Altuve hit a home run in live BP and the Astros beat guy tweeted about it. And the jokes that were coming in were amazing. The puns, I'm going to give credit to these Twitter people when I pull that up really quick. But I'm just wondering, like that trash can banging that you hear there. I know they're making fun of the entire thing, but that's legitimately what the Astros were doing. They were just banging a trash can twice or once, depending on if it was a fastball or a breaking ball. And I wonder why people didn't get called out more for that. Like, that's like, I don't know why it's coming out 2 years later. And in the 2018 and 2019, the Astros have been going back on that commissioner's report saying, look, it clearly states that we were only having any wrongdoing in 2017. Well, clearly, I think they upped their game in 2018 and 2019, but that's not in the report. So to them, it doesn't matter. But that trash can banging was a real thing in 2017. I don't know how there's nobody that called him out for it. But Brian McTaggart, he is the beat writer, the reporter, excuse me, for the Houston Astros, and I'm trying to pull up here. Okay, here we go. Jose Altuve just took Christian Javier deep during live BP. From Anthony Castrovince, at Castrovince. Sounds like he tattooed that ball. Sounds like he really banged that one. Yeah, these jokes have been coming in all the time. As I'm playing this Rob Manfred sound, and, you know, it's kind of a slower news type of Wednesday, as they call it. It is the NBA All-Star break. But before I get to this sound and I start playing it for all of you, I don't need your answers on the Chilton Auto Body text line from Rob Manfred. Obviously, you can text in about his apology and text in about how wrong he is. But also, I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine yesterday. And we were talking about, you know, how Curb Your Enthusiasm's going, any of these shows on HBO, any of these shows on Netflix, and we're like, dude, there's just way too much content to consume. So I want to know from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line, as I play these Rob Manfred apologies, I want you to just text in at 95795, what TV show you hooked on right now? Which is the one that you are currently binging and the one that you might be recommending to everyone else? Because for me, right now, that show is The Outsider, and that's the one on HBO that I'm continued to recommend to anyone who feels like they want to watch something that's kind of twisted and a little bit of a horror show, which I didn't expect it to be. But I want to know from you, chilling out by your text line, which shows you watching? That's all I want to know, so I can list them off toward the end of these apologies here. But here is Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball. He had another press conference from Arizona, and here is his initial apology.
I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
I mean, okay, you put out an apology, but you still just called the trophy a piece of metal. Like it's much more to these guys than that. You can come out with an apology all you want, but, I mean, in the end, you said what you said, and I don't think any sort of apology when looking back 3 days later is going to change anyone's mind about how you feel about the trophy. Sure, handing it over might be the greatest joy that you have at this job because the commissioner's job is not a fun one to have. There's not a lot of fun decisions to be made. But still, I mean, that apology, it's like, okay, I mean, fine, but I don't think that's going to fix much from what he said about that trophy. He continued to talk about a variety of topics. And here he is talking about the reluctance to set a precedent for change and a mistake that he made.
I could have set a new precedent here. I felt and continue to feel that the best thing we can do for our fans is to give them the facts, put them in a position to make their own judgment as to what happened in 2017, what the significance of that particular World Series is. I also, and I've said this before, very concerned about opening the door to altering results that took place on the field. There are a lot of things that have happened in the history of the game that arguably could be corrected, and I just think it's an impossible task for an institution to undertake.
You know, this kind of takes me back to 2014 when Adam Silver first became the commissioner for the NBA. And he, right away, this Donald Sterling thing got put on his plate. You know, Donald Sterling having this whole situation with his second lover that wasn't his wife, even though he was still married, he had the lover, and he was saying disparaging things about the African-American players. And Adam Silver felt like he had to strike down hard on that and banned Adam Silver from the league, and Adam Silver, ban Donald Sterling from the league. That's what Adam Silver had to do right away, just so he could set the precedent for, look, we're going to be the league that lets the players have the power. We're going to be the league that lets the players be themselves, and we're not going to have this whole mentality that Donald Sterling has, and we're not going to allow that in our league. And that's the sort of thing that Rob Manfred had the opportunity to do. So he's right. He had the opportunity to set a precedent for change, and he didn't do that. Now, look, the season's still starting, and he says it's impossible to do so, but, man, it's, like, in the end, I think you could, at least, you're the commissioner of baseball. you could still lay out some sort of punishments even though you already haven't. Now, he talked about the player immunity that the union tried to give these Astros players.
And the union came back and said that players would cooperate only if there was blanket immunity. And because we were at a bit of a stalemate, we knew we needed player witnesses, we agreed to that immunity agreement. And let me be clear, we would not have gotten where we got in terms of understanding the facts, learning the facts, disclosing the facts, if we hadn't reached that agreement. So I'm not being critical of anyone, but the fact of the matter is the union wanted an immunity agreement to protect their members, and that's how we got there.
And he continued to talk about how the players have to help us make sure this doesn't happen again.
I think that we need to show our fans that not only have we taken steps to prevent this type of activity, but we continue to take steps to ensure fans that it's not going on a go-forward basis. And, you know, I have to say, that's a joint obligation, right? I mean, it's something we have to do, and it's something that the players have to help us do.
Dude, it's your job. Like you should have got wind of this beforehand. Like the way that it's not going to happen again is by setting a precedent, like you just mentioned, that setting a precedent for change and putting a suspension on these players and stripping the title. I don't know what that's going to do anymore, except for that's what's going to help with history's sake and how we're going to look back on this entire thing in 2017. And, you know, when we're all in the older age range and these younger people are coming up and becoming fans of baseball, they're not going to look back at this and remember what happened with the Astros. But, like, you know, it's for history's sake, it would help. But at least putting a punishment on these players for having wrongdoing and them literally saying, yeah, we were wrong in 2017. Like, that was his job. And he's saying it's up to the it's up to the players to not cheat anymore. But, I mean, you got to set some sort of precedent. And that's what makes me wonder about the hits by pitches for the Astros this season. I wonder if he's going to try and set a precedent for that. For when Astros get hit. I don't know. This guy's kind of, he is the commissioner of baseball and he's way higher up. And I'm just a radio host who's been a baseball fan all his life. And I'm just sitting here at 5:30 in the morning ranting on. But this job, I'm not going to act like I could have done a better job because I'm not the commissioner of a major league sport, a professional sport. But man, it's just, I can't help but feel like there's just criticism for this guy and what he's done and how he's handled all of this situation. All right, coming up next, I want to get to this Emmanuel Sanders sound because something interesting is going on with the Seahawks, and I wonder what's going to happen with the state of the NFC West. You're going to hear from Monty Poole. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday to talk a little bit about the Warriors. We'll go all over Bay Area sports today, not just talking about this Houston Astros scandal, which I've been doing for the past week, although I do have one more sound clip to play. But this is Stephen Langford on the pregame show. We'll be back coming up next, and we're getting all your favorite TV shows on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations throughout the Bay Area, we're the winning choice for professional builders and contractors. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. Now, I asked you on the Chilton Auto Body text line because yesterday my friend and I were talking about, you know, shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Outsider, just pretty much anything that's coming out on HBO right now, because they got a bevy of things. But I do want to know from you, and we were talking about it, we're saying, man, there's just a lot of content to consume right now. And I just want to know from you, as we're on a slower news type of Wednesday during the All-Star break, I wanted to know from you what you are currently watching And if you have any good recommendations, because I'm very curious, and we're getting here from the 925, Lock and Key on Netflix from the 415, Killing Eve from the 925, Mr. Robot, which is just a terrific show. I recommend anyone watches that. From the 707, Snowfall, the best thing out. From the 425, Watchmen on HBO is amazing. That's from Matt, and I'm with you. I watch that thing week to week, and I recommend Watchmen to anybody. From the 510, Steven from Hercules is binge-watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's a hilarious show. I recommend it highly. The gang listens to the pregame show. From the 925, Shameless on Showtime is always hilarious, and then mentioned that Shameless is a good way to describe the Houston Astros right now. And then from the 408, American Gods on Stars is super trippy. And then from the 650, Jack Ryan, The Boys in Suits. The Boys is interesting. And Jack Ryan, I've watched one season of it. Love Jack Ryan so far. Love that. Okay, so there are a couple of things that I want to get to. We're going to get to Monty Poole here, who was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. I wanted to get an update on Steph, on Clay, and how he feels Wiggins is fitting into the team. And because we're seeing here now that Steph is looking more and more likely to come back by the time March rolls around. Steve Kerr's already talking. Like he said, Steph is basically like Tom Brady with the red jersey during training camp. He's not even allowed to be touched. They're basically wrapping him in bubble wrap. So it's a real thing. It looks like Steph is going to be making a return to the lineup, which we have just been wanting to see for a lot of the season. Ever since that Wiggins trade went down, we want to see how at least Wiggins can go in that small forward role along with Steph. But here is Monty Poole. He was on with, actually, it was Covey, Kolsky, and Ratto yesterday, but take a listen.
Well, one of our friends is Monty Poole, and of course he joins us now on 95.7 The Game. Monty, Ryan Covey, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. How you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm okay. How you guys doing?
Doing great. We just got the news about Kyrie Irving, and we'll talk some Dubs with you, of course, Monty. We got the news about Kyrie Irving going to be out indefinitely with the shoulder issues, only played 20 games. You know, when you talk to guys around the league about Kyrie Irving, when his name comes up, it's interesting. You know, he's got voted the vice president of the players union, so clearly he's held in some esteem, but it seems like everywhere he goes, he kind of has this effect on people that he wears on him, and he kind of sends out some mixed signals. What's the impression about Kyrie Irving that you get around the league?
That he has a great handle, probably the best in the league, that he's clutch, and that he's an enigma. It's like, what's up with this dude? He's smart, but he says dumb things. I think people just don't have a hard time pinning him down. I think he kind of likes that way. Which, you know, if he likes it that way, so be it. And I think that's what it's been for most of his career, and I don't see any reason for it to change. He wanted to go play with his friends. All three of them did. Both he and KD wanted to play with DJ. They're all there, and KD, of course, is out for the year. Kyrie is going to be out for most of the year, and DeAndre Jordan is the backup center. So, but they're enjoying each other's time, I guess.
Is it safe to say that the Andrew Wiggins experiment has failed?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Is it fair to say that the Andrew Wiggins experiment has failed?
Yeah, I think, you know, by now, you know, he's had like three games. So, and they lost all those games. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say that they made a mistake. Well, wait a minute. They were losing with D'Lo, too. So,
no, it's three strikes and you're out, Monty.
No, thanks for playing along with the bit. That's. The serious question is, how much of what you have seen in this relatively limited sample size has surprised you, either his skill set or his willingness to expand his game to fit what the Warriors seem to need now and maybe even in the future? I mean, what has surprised you about what little you've seen from him?
That he's making an effort to play defense. Yeah, I already knew that he can. That offense, he can give you something. He lit up the Warriors for 40 points not long ago. So I know he can score, and I know that he's able to score at all three levels. You know, his three isn't great, but it's solid. His mid range is solid, and he attacks the basket with a vengeance at times. But I think that defensively is what I'm surprised by, and I think the difference is that because both he and D'Angelo Russell have a reputation for really bad defenders, and they've earned those reputations. But it looks to me that Wiggins is making much more of an effort to play defense than D'Angelo ever did, and which is a part of the reason why I'm surprised by that. But two, he's a better athlete than D'Angelo. So the potential to be a good defender is there. With D'Angelo, I think even if he tried his best, he's going to be an average defender. But Wiggins had a chance to be a superior defender, an elite defender, if he applies himself. He's still working out, learning how to play with his teammates and sort of feeling the way the Warriors want to do things on defense, and that's going to take some time, I think. But watching his effort, he's trying to impress himself, his teammates, and so far that's an encouraging sign if you're a Warriors fan, that he's actually trying to play defense, and at times is very effective at it.
Looking at this Warrior team, obviously they talked all summer about getting younger, and they probably got even younger than they wanted to over the course of the season. But there are 6 guys 23 or under on the roster right now. Of that group, what one or two guys do you think are a meaningful part of next year's team?
The 23 and under crowd.
Basically, we're talking Pascal, Chris, yeah. Bowman, Poole, Smilagic.
Yeah.
Because Norvell will be gone.
Well, I think we know that Chris is a guy that they like a lot, and they think that they're able to tap into his potential, and we're seeing signs of that. I mean, he's playing better for them than he played anywhere else. Now, sometimes guys' numbers can be a little bit masked when they're on a bad team, you know, so, you know, see how he plays. But in this case, I think Marquese Chris could be even better. Maybe his numbers won't be better, but he can be an even better player when the Warriors are at full roster. So I think they see him as the potential starting center, and at very worst, a backup center, power forward. So I think he's going to be a part of what they want to try and do. They want to give him the full rest of this season and next season to show. And since they've made a commitment to him, I don't have anything to complain about if I'm them. I'm like, okay, he's given us what we need. Double-doubles. He's given us 18, 20 points. He's given us 10, 8, 9, 10, 12 rebounds and playing 25, 30 minutes a night. So you have to like what he's able to do for them. And they've made that commitment to him. I think Pascal's also a guy that they really like. I think they realize that he's, you know, at 23, he's probably not going to get a whole lot better in terms of individually, but he's going to get better. I think all these guys will benefit when you have guys like Clay and Steph around. They make the game easier for everybody, and you'll see Steph, I think, sometime next month, and that's one step in terms of getting the team that they want to have on the floor next year. You're looking less and less like Clay is going to be able to play, even though Bob Myers said that the door isn't closed on that. but, yeah, I'd say, first of all, Chris is number one there. And then I'd say Pascal and Poole. I think Smilagic may be another – he may be a little bit – he's further away. I mean, Jordan Poole this year started off like he couldn't shoot, couldn't throw a basketball through a barn door. But the one thing that when talking to people when the Warriors drafted him, I talked to scouts and coaches and just basketball people, and they said, no, this kid can score. He's going to be able to score. I don't know if he can do anything else, but he's going to be able to score. And then he gets up here, and some of his shots look like a guy who's never played basketball before. And I think he got into his head, maybe not to the degree that it got to Markelle Fultz, but for a while there, he just looked like a guy who was lost in the game, didn't know what he was doing out there with the basketball. And now you're starting to see glimpses of what he can do. They played him some time at the point, and he doesn't look uncomfortable there. He's got a pretty good handle. He looks more confident, and I think that's the case with him. I think he just needs to realize that he's in the NBA now. Some of the things he got away with in college, he can't get away with here, so he has to up his game. I think he's figured out that he has to do that. He can't just be the same old me. It's a new league. It's a new level. You got to be better, and I think he can be better.
Monty Poole with us, NBC Sports Bay Area Warriors Insider. We know we're going to see Steph back this year. Any chance you think Klay Thompson makes an appearance in this season? If you had to put some odds on that, Monty, what are the chances we see Klay between now and the end of the regular season?
Well, not likely. as I said, Bob Myers recently said that he not closed the door on that, but I also think that it's looking like he won't be able to play. I mean, he looks good when you see him, but you don't see him as much as you really would like to. Whereas Steph has been around much more visible, and he's much more active with the team, traveling with the team now. I think in Clay's case, they're being more careful because in Steph's case, it's a hand. And judging by what Steph has been doing lately, his hand gets fine. I mean, if you saw the picture of he and Aisha over the weekend, his hand looks to be fine. So I think there's confidence that he will be back within 2 or 3 weeks. Clay, yeah, I just don't think that he's going to come back at this stage. I thought for a while that he might, but I think their thought is it's an ACL. Why bring him back for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season? And so I don't think it's likely.
Okay. Has there been any damage to any psyches just based on the losing? Everybody understands why this team is getting the results it's getting, but is it starting to wear on anybody, and if so, in what ways?
Well, I'll start at the top. It wears on Joe Lacob because Lacob hates to lose. But, yeah, he understands what's going on. He understands that this season is not going to be a winning season. You know, they knew that when KD left and when Clay went down, oh, boy, this is going to be maybe a playoff team, maybe. And then when Steph went down, they were like, okay, it's on to the lottery we go. And they understand that. But the thing about Lacob is that he's in a new arena. This is his new playpen, and his product is not good. And that's what burns him, is that, you know, it is at times unwatchable. And he's aware of that, acutely aware of that. So, yeah, on one hand, it drives him nuts. On the other hand, he has to understand it and be patient, which he's not really good at. Now, going down the roster, Draymond has had a tough time. You don't see him with the usual fire, and I think a lot of it is because he's looking around and going, why? I mean, no matter what I put out there, is that going to make us a whole lot better? Probably not, you know. And so, you know, there are times when you see the full Draymond, but a lot of times you see the partial Draymond. And some of this is wear and tear over the years that Clay and Steph are getting a little bit of a break from. And some of it is just him looking around and going, you know, yeah, this is not – I'm a guy who makes good guys great, makes great guys even better. I don't know what I can do with these young guys. Most of them don't know what they're doing and don't know how to play the way we want to play. So I think Draymond has had a tough time this year with the losing. I know we had a tough time with D'Angelo Russell's defense or lack of effort on that end. And so, yeah, it's gotten to him. But at the same time, he's the first to tell you, you know, it won't make a difference what I say or do. That's the frustrating part for him, is that he knows his usual tactics won't go anywhere with this team. He can't light a fire under these guys and have them play any better than what they're doing. They're doing what they're trying to do, doing what they're able to do, and they're not going to play at all-star level, which is what he's used to playing with. So, yeah, I think it's gotten to Draymond. I think Steve handled it well. You know, at times he gets frustrated, but I don't think anyone is at the breaking point, and that includes Draymond, who probably would come the closest, but yeah, he understands what's going on, and he's dealing with it.
Just hold on a little longer, everybody. Reinforcements are coming. Hey, Monty, man, thanks so much for your time, as always. Great insight. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. 7 more weeks. Season's over.
No doubt. That's it.
Couple more things that Monty had to say there just to build on what he was talking about. He was talking about whether Marquese Chris will have a future with this team. I know Kolsky's very high on Marquese Chris, as a lot of us should be since Wiggins is back, and we can't overlook the fact that since Wiggins has gotten onto this team and been traded to this team in the past 3 games, Marquese Chris in that span has averaged 20 points and 10 rebounds. So that's going to be one to watch out for until Steph comes back, the dynamic between those two. And even though they continue to lose games, the numbers, at least, that when Andrew Wiggins is on the floor compared to when he's off the floor, if I'm not mistaken, the net rating, the difference between his offensive rating and his defensive rating is at a plus 6.3, which is when everyone else is in the negative. So for the past 3 games, when Wiggins has been on the floor, he's been nothing but helpful, and Marquese Chris has been one of those guys who he's been able to open things up for. So that's going to be interesting to keep watch for that. And I kind of gave an ode to Draymond Green yesterday, and Monty Poole was saying that, you know, you don't know whether you're getting the partial Draymond or that full Draymond, that energetic type of Draymond. And I'm like, look, despite getting a partial or full-on Draymond, you're still getting Draymond. He's still there. Like, it could have been so easy for him this year to just say, hey, my foot hurts. I want to be out for the next 3 weeks, you know? like just taking off a lot of time that's real when he really didn't need to. He hasn't done that this year. He's taken a couple of games off here and there, sure, but that's just a normal thing within the NBA. Draymond Green has still showed up. Going to get to all your Chilton Auto Body text line text here on the shows that you are currently watching right now, because there's a lot of content to just take in, and I don't really know what else to watch. But I also have some sound from Emmanuel Sanders that I want to play. But first, the Dream Job Contest is officially launched. It's your chance to become an on-air host at 95.7 The Game. We are accepting video submissions online at 95.7 and 95.7thegame.com. And your video needs to be 1 minute long. You can go for a 60-second rant. I'm going to play an example for you here, one that's only 30 seconds. But you can give one that's 60 seconds long, and you can rant on the best sports topic of your choice, on anything you want to. Just a minute-long rant. You could submit a video to 957thegame.com. And here's the kicker, though. Please do not put music in the background. Do not have anything going on. Just be safe. Don't have anything going on in the background for legal purposes. If you have music going on back there, then we'd have to just disqualify the video immediately because of legal issues that come along with that. So once you submit that 1 minute long video, you're going to be waiting, and hopefully you'll be selected. We're going to select the best 16 videos out of all the submissions that we get. So the best 16, and you guys are going to compete against each other at the live event we're going to be holding on Saturday, March 7th. So it's looking like it's going to be a lot of fun. Very excited. But here's an example that I want to play of one of these 60-second video submissions, even though it's 30 seconds long. By the way, you're going to have to all the rules are at 957thegame.com, but you're going to have to submit your full name and a couple of other things at the beginning of the video, which we took out at the beginning of one of these excerpts. But here you go.
Kyle Shanahan is a hell of an offensive mind, but it should be offensive to 49er fans at how he blew the Super Bowl away. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt how that first half ended, because at the end, he still had a chance to win the game. But when the feces hit the fan in the fourth quarter and they were down by four, the chance was still there right under the two-minute warning mark. Mostert was averaging 6.3 yards a carry this entire postseason. And the Kansas City Chiefs have not shown that they could shut Deebo Samuel down. The play calling became so predictable, and the diversity and creativity just went out the window.
So there you go. That's one of the dream job submissions that we got. Feel free to submit your own. Just make a video, 957thegame.com. Submit it. Don't have any music going on in the background. And hopefully you're one of the best 16 videos that will be chosen so that you can participate in the live event on March 7th. And he mentioned the 49ers, and I'm going to build off that little dream job submission. Shout out to that person for their video submission there. But there was a video that went viral yesterday. It didn't really go viral, but it did around the Bay Area. It was good enough where Bleacher Report sent an update about it. And it said, basically, Emmanuel Sanders speech will get you pumped up. Take a listen to this.
Petition is the father of learning. This morning when you woke up, what the first thing you did? Did you learn that? You learned that by doing it over and over and over to the point that the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is what? I gotta brush my teeth. Somebody taught you that, and you taught yourself that. So when you out here, Mac, and Mac telling you, hey, you running high. I heard him tell you running high. That's because that's not the technique. That's not going to get you to the NFL. That's not going to get you a Range Rover. That's not going to get you a Ferrari. That ain't going to get your mama house. Because you ain't trying to master the technique. But you are, because you kept doing it. You kept coming back. You said, that one right, Coach Mac? Let me do it again. 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 You trying to master the technique. Don't ever, just like you can master the technique, you can create bad habits too. If you do bad habits over and over and over and over again, guess what that make you? A bad football player.
That was pretty cool, but he also had Wyatt Iverson playing in the background by Post Malone. Make sure you do not have any sort of music in the back of your one-minute video submission should you submit a video. There are a couple of things here. One, I think when I looked, when I digged a little deeper into that video, apparently it's from a couple of years ago. It's not from this year. And then it also mentioned 49ers wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders made a motivational speech that'll get you pumped up. As far as I know, he's still a free agent. And he's not a 49ers wide receiver right now. He's on the open market. And he's going to be And he made $10 million last year, and he was the first NFL player in history to play all 17 regular season games since he didn't get a bye week. Here's my thing. I wouldn't be surprised next season, since the 49ers don't have much in terms of their salary cap. They got to pay a lot of guys. They have about $19.6 million right now, and paying for Emmanuel Sanders would take up just under half of that, or just over half of that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Emmanuel Sanders is a Seattle Seahawk next year. The Seahawks got over $50 million to spend in the salary cap, and the Seahawks are going to be using the Super Bowl as an example. Hey, Emmanuel, you come over here, you're going to be playing with another rookie wide receiver in DK Metcalf, who is just as good as Debo Samuel was. You're going to be playing with an MVP caliber quarterback in Russell Wilson. You're going to have Tyler Lockett, who can move to over to the slot. And by the way, we just signed Greg Olsen, who's a great tight end. So we can work around that. Hey, Emmanuel, we're going to give you this amount of money. Like, if the 49ers do not decide to pay Emmanuel Sanders, which could be likely, they could also pay him. If they decide to pay him, then good on them. But also, it's going to take some money out of their pocket. But I wouldn't be surprised if Emmanuel Sanders is in a Seahawks jersey next year, just because they got a lot of money to spend. Now, the top wide receivers on the market right now above Emmanuel Sanders are Amari Cooper and AJ Green. And A.J. Green, I don't know, he didn't even play in this last season. I don't know if he's going to be like Emmanuel Sanders coming off the torn Achilles to where he can play in all 17 regular season games. And Emmanuel Sanders is so great, and that sort of motivational speech should be a reason alone as to why you should sign him to a new deal. But also, if the 49ers do not sign him, I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks were going to be the ones that go after him and say, hey, you saw that deep ball in the Super Bowl, right? You saw Jimmy Garoppolo miss that? That wouldn't happen if he makes it to the Super Bowl and Russell Wilson is here. That's probably going to be their talking point when they have that meeting. I don't know. That's just a thought to me. Joe Low and Dibs are coming up next. That's them banging on the door right now. I could tell they want to get in here. It's Joe Low and Co's coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.